prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is May 8th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's a beautiful day here in the hills of good old West Virginia, and it's a nice day to be alive and enjoying life that God gave us. It really is. We live in a kind of a battle zone, but I praise God every day for life.
Absolutely. And just so the listeners know, I'm actually calling from central Pennsylvania. So if people are wondering why my connection might be a little different, that's because I'm doing it by phone. And I'll be back in the office tomorrow. And but you can still give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And so today, I believe, Butch, you're going to give us the metal prices.
I'm going to do it all, metal and markets. And all but one metal had good days. All but one metal had up day. Gold was up 645 to 2022-24. So we're pecking right on a record, folks. Silver's down 7 pennies, but it's still doing well at 25.52. Palladium, platinum was up $18 to 10.6830. Palladium was up 45.20 to 14.8680. Good job on the metal stuff. Silver had a little dip, but nothing to be concerned about, folks. That's only temporary. Good report on that. The Dow was down a little bit, 63 to 33.611. S&P was down 2.69 to 41.38. NASDAQ was down 22.32 to 12.257. Oil was up $1.50 to 72.84. USDX was up 0.18 to 101.39. 10-year yield was up 0.065 to 3.509. And I forgot to do the DAX. The DAX was down 0.05 to 15.952. Nikkei was down 0.71% to 28,949. FTSE was up 0.98% to 7,778. Hang Seng was down 0.48% to 22,97. So there you have it.
Great.
Pretty much steady.
Job.
But the metals are doing well. I like when I see gold going up a few bucks. Silver, like I said, had a little dip, but nothing to be concerned about. And palladium and platinum had a wonderful day. There you go, Melody. Comments?
On the platinum and palladium. Platinum is still a pretty good buy, although the premium on that is still good. But you're still paying, you know, a little bit less than, you know, than what you would for a Gold Eagle or something like that. So folks don't have any platinum. And, you know, just to buy one or two coins of platinum, you know, you're not going to do too much. But, you know, hey, pick up 10 of the platinum eagles, or, you know, it's a great thing to be adding to your portfolio. So just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And it's nice to see gold up even with the USDX a little bit stronger today. So that's a good sign. Well, we're, you know, we might be headed for this week. So so what do you have for us, Butch? Hello?
Okay, I'm right here. Yes, I'm right. I had to sneeze. I had to sneeze, so I didn't want to be here. anyway.
Gesundheit.
We got a couple side issues here. They don't get on the economics because the economy, oh, it's not looking good, folks. I'm sorry. I know what you hear in the news. I understand the job rate, the job unemployment rate is way down, but it is not good. They are flat lying to us. But anyway, before we get into the economics, Russia attacks Ukraine with a huge drone swarm ahead of Victory Day holiday. Russia launched its biggest swarm of drones for months against Ukraine on Monday, even Russia's May 9th holiday celebrating the defeat of Nazi Germany, which Kyiv marked a day early as a symbolic new break with Moscow. Kyiv's mayor said Russia had fired 60 Iranian-made kamikaze drones at Ukrainian targets, including 36 at the capital, all which have been shot down. Now, maybe so. I find that hard to believe. Maybe so. Debris hit our apartments and other buildings, injuring at least five people in the capital. A food warehouse was set ablaze by a missile in the Black Sea of Odessa, where officials reported three people were injured. It was the biggest drone swarm yet in a renewed Russian air campaign at least 10 days ago after a lull since early March. Kyiv said Moscow was also making a final push to try to capture the ruined eastern city of Bakhmut, to deliver President Vladimir Putin what it would be his only prize for a costly Russian winter offensive in time for Victory Day. Okay. So, no, it hasn't stacked up a whole lot. It hadn't stacked up a lot. And on another issue that should concern us all right now, it's entitled Risk It All, Migrant Surge as U.S. Prepares for Title 42 to End. It's out of Brownsville, Texas. Under a set of white tents at the U.S.-Mexico border in Brownsville, Texas, dozens of Venezuelan men waited. Some sat on curbs, others leaned on metal barricades. When the gates eventually opened, the long line of men filed slowly up to the pedestrian wet pathway to the bridge and across the Rio Grande River to Mexico. In the past few weeks, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials have been facilitating these expulsions three times a day as roughly 30,000 migrants, mostly from Venezuela, have entered the U.S. and this region since mid-April. That compared to 1,700 migrants Border Patrol agents encountered the first 2 weeks of April. So, folks, that's almost double. I mean, that's went up four or five-fold there, and more than that, actually. There's 30,000 migrants, mostly from Venezuela, have been in the U.S. since mid-April. 1,700 the first part of April is all entered. I'll let that sink in a minute. On the other end of the state, in El Paso, officials are dealing with another surge of migrants and worry that thousands more are waiting to cross. All this comes as the U.S. is preparing for the end of a policy linked to the coronavirus pandemic, allowed it to quickly expel many migrants, and the spotlight's concerned about whether the end of the immigration limit under Title 42 law will mean even more migrants trying to cross the southern border. We are going to be hammered again and swamped. They're now turning back 9,000 a day in a couple of border cities. 9,000 a day, folks. Melody, that's a lot of people over a period of a couple of months, isn't it?
You know, I can't imagine anybody that has any type of a brain can, you know, sit back and think that this is good for this nation. That when you hear this administration come on and say, oh, our borders are not open, they are closed, how they can even accept that announcement. I mean, it's just incredible what this is and how these people are just being ushered into this country without rhyme or reason, without any type of vetting. It's truly amazing. And, you know, hey, we're out of COVID now. I mean, that doesn't go through people's mind. But, hey, look when this all started under the Biden administration. You know, nobody ever even said anything about that. I mean, Butch, I just get
I know.
Speechless. It's just shocking.
It's words that makes yourself feel so frustrated and angry and so helpless because there's nothing that we can really do about it. Complaining doesn't do a bit of good.
No. We're not the ones that are supposed to do something about it.
No,
those people that are sitting in D.C. that call themselves politicians, they're the ones that should be stopping this administration. As far as I'm concerned, these people ought to be thrown out of office, derelict of duty. I mean, come on. And what do they do? What are they doing? Oh, we're going to hold a meeting down there on the border and make the Democrats see just how bad it is. Well, how'd that work out? It's just absurd. It's just unbelievable.
Well, again, it's just beyond frustrating. There's nothing to do except, well, we can talk about it. That ends some down none.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like the American people are waking up to it. That's the worst part. All the ones on the border are. My gosh, the people in the border cities are in desperate need. Even New York City's complaining now. And I'm glad we started dumping them off up there to give an idea what it tastes like. But the people in the borders are the people living, you know, in my area, your area, Central America as a whole. It's not really bothering me a lot that we know. We don't see it directly. It's bothering all of us.
Yeah.
It costs us a fortune, but that's beside the point. Anyway, so
yeah, it just doesn't seem to matter to anybody, and
it doesn't.
You know, particularly those people in D.C. I mean, what are they actually doing? Oh, I'm sorry, they're working on our debt ceiling. Oh, really? How's that working out for them?
We're going to discuss this in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. And Paul Craig Roberts wrote a good report here. I'm sure you know who he is.
I do.
Your report called More Troubled Banks. As I reported at the time, the banking crisis is not limited to Silicon Valley Bank. Silicon Valley Bank's failure was followed by failures in New York Signature Bank and First Republic Bank of San Francisco. Now, three more banks have had their stock prices collapse: Western Alliance, PacWest Bank Corp., and Metropolitan Bank. As I've emphasized, the Federal Reserve has higher interest rates are the cause of the bank troubles. The decade of zero interest rates left banks with portfolios of lower interest rate assets on their balance sheets. As the Federal Reserve raised rates, these assets declined in value. Depositors saw that the banks were technically insolvent and withdrew funds. Others withdrew funds because they can now get higher interest rates from money market funds. Banks losing deposits are subject to runs. Expecting the worst, shareholders sell their holdings of the bank stocks. As the banks lose market value, troubles increase. The Federal Reserve is causing a banking crisis because the Federal Reserve imagines that the inflation is a monetary inflation and not inflation resulting from supply disruptions caused by COVID lockdowns and Russian sanctions. If the Federal Reserve succeeds in throttling the economy with higher interest rates, supply problems are aggravated by reductions in production. In other words, as usual, the Federal Reserve policy is counterproductive. I've always been amazed that Americans look to government and entities for solutions when incompetence is the main attribute of the government. That's about all they produce is incompetence, Melody. Any comments? Are you still there, Melody? She must step away from the mic, so anyway.
I am. I'm here.
Okay. So,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. I just read an article from...
it's the same thing. I mean, that's pretty much being handled the same way the borders are being handled. It's not. And, you know, there's issue there that they're just going to deny it. It's just like inflation was transitory. Yes, we're seeing inflation come down in certain areas and so forth, but in certain areas we're seeing it go up. It's going to adjust all over the place. Overall, it's there, and people are having difficult times in doing so. I was just talking to someone today where where I'm at in central PA, you have the Manheim Auto Auction, and that's the largest auction of vehicles in the country. And there's just thousands and tens of thousands of cars It's amazing how many they, you know, that they auction through there, and somebody works there, and their position is what they do is they clean out these vehicles that they bring in to put them up for auction. And he says a lot of them are repossessed automobiles. And he says it's really sad. He says, because you could tell that people have been living in their vehicles. He says there's clothing in there. There's kids' clothing in there. And he says there's, you know, and, you know, when they repo these vehicles, they just take whatever's inside them. It's not like they clean them out and everything like that. And they said it's just, he says, you know, you can tell that people have been living in these vehicles. And it's just, that's all part of it. So, yes, there's going to be, you know, these are just things that people don't see. And so as long as they don't see these failures across this country, it's going to be hard for them to accept exactly where we are at as a nation.
That's very true. This article goes down the same road you mentioned about living in vehicles. Shocking images show the two-mile-long vehicle encampment, folks, not line of vehicles sitting to move, vehicle encampment made up of people living in RVs, trucks, and trailers, along Highway 101 north of San Francisco, as low-income people are pushed out of the housing market. Hundreds of locals in one of San Francisco's wealthiest counties have been forced to pack up in their lives into RVs and trailers after being pushed out of the housing market. Shocking photos show the ever-growing line of trucks, other vehicles along 101 Highway, which now stretches over 2 miles in one of the largest encampments in the country. Cities in Marin County, where the, on average home cost is $1.4 million. Imagine that. Wow. Are pushing for the line along the highway to end after the number of residents living in their cars ballooned during the pandemic. Photos and video taken by DailyMail.com shows families living in tents, using portable barbecues as their belongings spill out of the RVs and trucks. Some appear to have used flags to mark the area of the road that they use for their home, with many pulling tarpaulin over the cars to protect their possessions. Shocking photos show the ever-increasing line of trucks and other vehicles along 101, which now stretches for over 2 miles in one of the largest encampments in the country. Officials say there are at least 135 vehicles along Benford Road on the outskirts of Novato, as the number who call it home has expanded. Residents of the surrounding area are now coming together to try to help bring the encampment to an end by helping people find services they need. Every month they are given free groceries, assistance with their housing, case management, medical assistance, and much more. There will be a push for the services to be expanded after state funding was awarded to Novato. Anyway, I just want to say that each city in Marion County received $500,000 trying to end this, but it's not ending. It's not ending. A two-mile-long stretch of a main route, Melody. People living in campers and tents in their cars because they lost their homes. Now, they live in an area, a very wealthy county. The median price of a home is $1.4 million. They can't afford it. The average income is $131,000. They can't afford it. So there you go. I mean, we see that happen. That's in California. That's not here. It's coast to coast. We'll get that more in a minute, too. It's coast to coast. They're all over the country. All over the country this is happening. Any comments on Melody?
No, and I can remember the last time everybody had these big pushes of homeless and so forth, and like when Giuliani supposedly went to New York, you know, supposedly he cleaned up the homeless, and all they do is they just move them around. So many of these mental shelters and so forth, they were closed. You know, these people were just put out on the streets, and, you know, it just added to the problem, and now we have another situation. And they don't, you know, and again, another experience today, we were driving underneath a bridge, and, you know, I just made a comment about the bridge looked a little rickety, and they said, yeah, they just moved out a whole bunch of homeless people because it was in an encampment. And it was so infested with rats and everything that they just said they came in and demolished this whole area underneath this bridge. They were given warning and so forth. They said, well, where did they go? Nobody knows. But they just move them out. They come in, they take everything they got, and, you know, where do they go? They go to another location. Maybe they should go to San Francisco. I don't know, but I hear the music, Butch.
I hear music, yes.
Sounds like we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me? You think I crumbled? You think I lay down and die on your life? I will survive. Oh, as long as I know my love, I know I'll be right. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to live.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit at the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and the blog. And every time I say the blog, you know, and people talk about the blog, I think of that old scary movie.
The Blob?
But that was The Blob.
The Blob, yeah.
The Blob. It was a good movie.
You going back
had the
a
guy
long
in
time.
There. Yeah, we had that guy in there from Gunsmoke. Can't think of his name.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about James Arness. Yeah.
James Arness, yes. Your brain's working today, Butch.
Well, it kicks every now and then. Those final 7 to 8 cylinders, that ain't too bad. But anyway, back to some news that I think all this is showing the destruction of this country, folks. We are quickly becoming a third world nation. And that's an insult, actually, to third world nations. Places that I traveled to when I was younger that were showcases are slums now. And I'm serious about that. San Francisco is one of them. When I was there back in the late 60s before we went over to Nam, that city was gorgeous. I mean, the parts, I'm sure there were slums somewhere, but in the downtown areas, it was a pretty place. Chinatown was just absolutely fascinating to be around. Now, Nordstrom closing San Francisco stores, citing a deteriorating situation amid crime crisis. Stick a fork in San Francisco. The city seems to be beyond repair. After 35 years, Nordstrom is closing its downtown San Francisco stores, citing the deteriorating situation in the city plagued by crime and governed by mindless progressives. According to ABC 7 News, the Nordstrom Rack on Market Street will close on July 1st, and Nordstrom inside the Westfield Mall will close in August. Jimmy Nordstrom, chief store officer, in a letter to impacted workers of both stores, explained that the dynamics of the downtown San Francisco work market have changed dramatically over the past several years, impacting customer foot traffic to our stores and our ability to operate successfully. The pending exodus of Nordstrom comes as several other retailers, such as Office Depot, The Container Store, and I can't even say this, Anthropology, Whole Foods, and Saks off Fifth Avenue have all recently announced store closures. Now, folks, let me repeat that. Office Depot, The Container Store, Anthropology, Whole Foods, and Saks off Fifth have all announced closing stores. The reason for the closures is that the cost operation for retailers is soaring as progressive city officials want to address out-of-control thefts and street crime. Since 2020, 20 retailers have closed their stores in San Francisco's Union Square, as the San Francisco Standard reported, all pointing to theft. In other areas, CVS and Walgreens have shuttered stores. As for the retailers who remain in the city, such as Target, they've had to lock entire aisles behind safety glass to prevent shoplifting. The retail departures are yet another blow for the city as the tech downturn worsens, coupled with the regional banking crisis, which has spread into commercial real estate, mainly the office space of Samuel. Melly, that's really sad. It really is. I mean, I wasn't in San Francisco for a couple, 3 days. And I'm not a city dweller. I grew up in the country. But it was pretty. I mean, the cable cars, or whatever, I guess they call them that. I don't remember the name. But, you know, in the streets, it was a pretty town. Something's happened to California, Melly. I think it's called socialism. What do you think?
You know, I recently had a conversation with a Microsoft executive, and they travel all over the world, and we ended up talking about the various airports, and this kind of goes in line with what you're saying, talking about the various airlines and the airports. And the airlines and airports around the world, like your Asian countries, you know, Vietnam isn't what we think and visualize Vietnam as we know of baby boomers growing up through during the war and so forth. The Asian countries, the Philippines, they're not these third world nations anymore. You think of the Saudi Arabians and their airlines, Turkish Airlines. They're beautiful. These airports are top of the, you don't hear about them having cancellations. You don't hear them about having to delay. And if you are delayed, they take care of you. She was telling me that, yeah, some of these airports overseas, if your plane is delayed, they have these areas that you go to, lounges that you can, there are areas where you can sleep, they can shower, they feed you. Here, they say sorry, and that's it.
Yep, that's it.
The airlines, look what they do. They hurtle into the planes, get smaller. She says, when you're traveling overseas, they cater to your every need. I don't think the people in this country realize that this is how the rest of the world has grown, all from our purchasing of these trinkets that are being made everywhere and being exported back into this nation. We have brought up the lifestyles of all of these countries, these Asian countries and everywhere else, and look how ours have declined.
And that's exactly
what we've exported
our
That
was planned. That was totally planned.
Sure. We've exported our inflation so we could buy all of these trinkets and think that we're living in hog heaven. And yet the world, as far as amenities and services, have outpassed us. And look at our services. We complain about it every day. We can't even make a phone call or talk to anybody anymore.
Well, would you believe that for I started Friday. Worked on some more day. I tried to call an appliance store here. Well, Lowe's. I'm looking for a dishwasher. I cannot find anyone who can give me information on what's available, what the price would be. And when I called the last time, the guy said, I am so covered up, I just can't talk to you right now. Now, that's Service in America Today.
Yeah.
That's Service in America Today. Folks, that really happened to me today. That's just the way it is. You know, we're talking about the home.
Yes.
Go ahead, Norton, please.
I'm just confirming. But yes, we are a nation that declines socially, morally, and everywhere else.
They're talking about the homeless a minute ago and how it's spread across country. This little article, just short article. Homeless encampments are exploding in size all over America as rents soar and evictions surge. This is from Michael Snyder. Communities all over the United States are being taken over by giant homeless encampments. We were supposed to believe that this is perfectly normal. The encampments, the Biden administration is trying to very hard to convince us, all of us, that the economy is in fine shape, even though many of our most prominent corporations are currently conducting mass layoffs, and even though Challenger, Gray, and Christmas is telling us that the number of jobs cuts during the first 3 months of this year. Now listen, folks, the job cuts the first 3 months of the year, January, February, March, was up 396% compared to the same period last year. Just like in 2008 and 2009, the large numbers of people that have lost their jobs or their businesses are ending up living in the streets. The result, homeless encampments are absolutely exploding in the size from coast to coast. Job losses, Melody, in 3 months this year is up 396%. But don't worry, unemployment rates is 50-year low. nothing wrong with the job. Man, there's plenty of them out there. You know, so no big deal. Nobody, what I just read to you, Ms. Snyder, is all made up. There's no homeless problems. The infrastructure nation isn't crumbling. I read another article where a guy was talking about flying into this country back in the 90s and flying in today and comparing to what he saw flying over the cities into the airports. He said it looks like something you see in an old Russian movie where the guards guards along the airports guarding the place, and you're going into some dismal looking shabby place that hangar or business, whatever. That's what America has become. That we want. Folks, it's just the truth. We're telling you the truth. Anything you want to add that, Melody?
No, I mean, and the thing of it is, these nations, yeah, they were our best buddies, and we helped them, we made them grow and everything like that, but do you think they're going to have any allegiance, any loyalty to the United States now that they've gotten what they wanted and now that they're more powerful and wealthier than we are? Absolutely not. There's no loyalty between nations, none whatsoever. No matter what can you do for us, and we're going to take as much as we can for our nation. And, I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's always been that way, and in a sense, it should be
that way. It's
been that way. If we put America first, we wouldn't have sent Ukraine somewhere around $800 billion. We wouldn't have done that. We would have spent it here. On our own infrastructure, our own people, but we didn't do that. You see, it's bad enough the government's involved in giving away money anyway. They shouldn't even give them money to the people. That's not their job. Because they're doing it, they take it from the people, they give it back to the people when it's been like putting hay in one end of the horse and come out something else in the other end. Yeah, it's processed students might get something out of it, but it's just dung compared to what went in there. Folks, this is what we're doing in America. We're taking money from people, but we're not even giving back to the people. We're shipping it overseas. Wow. I just read to you about California and San Francisco. Oh, boy, this is so exciting. California reparations panel, okay, state apology payments. Melody, I'm so excited. California Reparations Task Force voted Saturday to approve recommendations on how the state may compensate and apologize to black residents for generations of harm caused by discriminatory policies. The non-member committee, which first convened nearly 2 years ago, gave final approval in a meeting in Oakland to a hefty list of proposals that now go to the state lawmakers to consider for reparations legislation. U.S. Representative Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, who's co-sponsoring a bill in Congress to study the restitution proposals for African Americans, at the meeting called on states and the federal government to pass reparations legislation. Their prices are not only morally justifiable, but they have the potential to address longstanding racial disparities and inequalities. Lady, you're dumber than a rock. The panel first wrote approved the panel's first vote approved a detailed account of historical discrimination against black Californians in areas such as voting, housing, education, disproportionate policing, incarceration, and others. Other recommendations on the table range from the creation of a new agency to provide services to descendants of enslaved people to calculations on what the state owes them in compensation. Apology and admission of wrongdoing just by itself is not going to be enough, said Chris Longston, an organizer with California for a Just and Equal California, a reparations advocacy group, said. On and on and on it goes. And it's not going to stop to its bottom. This is, California is literally disintegrating. California was a show state, Melody. California was a place everybody wanted to go back in the 50s. I remember, remember the old song, California, Here We Come? I mean, all these, California was a place everybody wanted to go because it was prosperous. It was beautiful. The weather was nice. California is turning into a sewer. Any comments on that?
No.
I mean, it breaks my heart. This is the country I grew up in. It breaks my heart. I mean, it does. I'm not lying about it. It breaks my heart. I wish I could say something positive about it, but there's nothing to say positive about it.
But you know what? Those reparations and so forth, you know they're going to have to pass something.
Oh, yeah. I have to talk about this long. They have to.
Yeah, they're gonna have somewhere somebody's gonna have to pass something.
Lines stretch down the block, and food banks, costs go up, and pandemic aid expires. The line outside Boston, and this is Boston, folks, not Alabama, Mississippi, and West Virginia. The line outside Boston's American Red Cross food pantry on a recent Saturday morning stretched the length of two football fields. That's a long way, Melody. The number of people filling into the red brick industrial zone warehouses on some days now exceeds the worst periods of the pandemic economic crisis in April, and in April it had the second highest monthly traffic since it opened in 1982. His organization, like food banks across the country, have been flooded with requests for help since food stamp recipients were hit with a double blow. The expiration of a temporary boost in benefits put in place during a pandemic and an onerous grocery crisis, which are running 24% above pre-COVID prices. So groceries have went up, they said average, 25% since pre-COVID. 25%. It's a hunger cliff. Inflation and ending these emergency allotments, Andre said, people are really crashing. Okay, Melody, so the food went up 25%. Big deal, right?
Did wages go up 25%?
Mine didn't, and I forgot to ask Uncle Sam to increase mine. I'm going to do that. I mean, it's my money. I paid it for years, you know. I can't have it. I mean, this.
Well,
this
maybe they'll lower our taxes by 25%, huh?
That's what they'll do, especially the past reparations. Oh, insanity. And I may have time for this one. Challenging protein market. Tyson Food reports loss. Slices revenue outlook for a year as shares plunge. The largest U.S. meat company, Tyson Foods, tumbled 10% in pre-market trading after posting a second quarter loss. The meat supplier has been battered by rising costs across its business and sliding demand for its meat products as consumers push back against high supermarket prices. For the quarter ending on April 3rd, Tyson reported a loss of $97 million, or 28 cents per share compared to the net income of $829 million in the same period last year. A fact set survey of Wall Street analysis suspect the company reported a profit of 80 cents per share. Now, Melly, I got a question to ask you before we go to break here. For the first quarter, Tyson reported a loss of $97 million. Does that mean they actually lost $97 million, or they were $97 million below what they expected to make?
Well, I'd have to look it up to see exactly.
I didn't see an answer on that, so I don't know either.
But it just doesn't matter. It's a loss.
No, it's a loss. And that's the point. Tyson Foods, the largest meat manufacturer in the country. Wow. I mean, it's just, folks, it's not over. It's just beginning. I got a sign across from my desk here. about from a sick 2 years ago. It's a picture of Lacey. Pull up your big girl panties and deal with it. Well, folks, here it comes. It's coming. America is going down the tubes. Melanie, go ahead.
Well, so is our break is arriving. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, leading into our third segment of the program today. And is there any good news out there, Butch?
Well, I could have dug and maybe got some. But my calves are doing well, Bob. They're looking good. Yeah, they're looking
That's
good.
Awesome.
Grass up to their bellies, and they're looking good, and enjoying eating on it. So yeah, that's good news. I think. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming down, but I could look up some more good news stories. You want to let me know anytime. But these things here are trying to get people's eyes open to exactly what's going on.
I know.
We are being undermined every day. This next article says new cars once part of the American dream. Now I reach for many. And I'm telling you now that I never bought, you can count on one hand, probably less, of new cars that I bought. Never could afford to buy a brand new car. I got a new Subaru one time and I think a new Dodge one time. But I've always bought used cars because the price of new cars are just priced out of my reach. And they still are. Well, it's getting worse. Juan David Ramirez knows that his 2012 Nissan Juke SL is on its last leg. But buying a new car in the Orlando area these days reminds him of car buying in his home country in Colombia, where only the wealthy can afford new cars. That should tell something right there. I mean, he said he said, but despite good jobs and finance and business contracting, couples monthly loan payment would run around $700 a month for a $35,000 car, a new car. And that's a cheap car nowadays, Melody. That's not a very expensive car, $35,000 for a new one. It isn't.
Agreed.
I looked at a 2019 Dodge Lariat, beautiful truck. Oh, gorgeous truck. Ooh. But it had 60,000 miles on it. That's 4 years old, mind you. 60,000 miles, which is 15,000 a year, which is driven pretty much for a vehicle. Would you like to take a stab what that truck cost? A price on sticker?
Probably 40 grand.
$55,000. $55,000. You know what I did? I threw up and walked away. I mean, come on. $55,000.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, if that's $55,000 for a 2019, for $15,000 more, you could get a brand new one. So.
Well, this was the loaded one. This is the kind of truck that every man dreams of, okay? Leather seats, everything. Oh, it was just absolutely loaded and gorgeous. But it's unfortunate that most people, and I'm one of them, I'll never afford a new car. The cheapest one I can find in a pickup new is around $40,000. And I just can't do that. So by the lowest 20% of earners dropped to its lowest level in 11 years. Meanwhile, spending on new cars by the top 20%, it reached its highest level on record going back to 1984. So, yeah, the people that are going to afford them, as you said, it was in Columbia, only the wealthy can afford them. Folks, the average income people like myself and others can't do it. Just can't do it. I cannot justify spending $50,000 for a vehicle. If I had the money, I don't think I'd justify it. My goodness, we're talking something that's going to wear out in 4 or 5 years. That's 10 grand a year.
That was almost as much as my first. That's almost as much as my first home that I purchased.
Well,
my first home I purchased was $80,000. Yeah.
Well, I bought this little place off my father-in-law and done a lot of work to it. Lots of work. $28,000 when I bought it.
Yeah.
So that's back in about 72, 73. Then I've done a lot of work to it. I really have. Put up money and upgrade it, and that's all fine. But the base price, $28,000. At least I could have a home that I could afford even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. And this next article says, tipping at self-checkout has customers crying emotional blackmail. Consumers already bristling at higher prices question where the money goes when the interaction with the employee was non-existent. Zero interaction with employees during a transaction no longer guarantees freedom from the moral quandary of how much to tip. Prompts to leave 20% at self-checkout machines at airports, stadiums, cookie shops, and cafes across country are rankling consumers already inundated by the proliferation of tip screens. Business owners say the automated queues can significantly increase gratitudes and boost staff pay. But the unmanned prompts are leading more consumers or customers to question what exactly the tips are for. They're cutting labor costs by doing self-checkout. So what's the point of asking for a tip? And where's it going? Says Ishita Jamar, a senior at the American University in Washington, D.C., who has noticed more self-serve tip queues at restaurants and that she frequents. Tipping researchers and labor advocates say that so-called tip creep is a way for employers to put the onus on employee pay into customers rather than raising wages themselves. Companies say that tips are optional thanks for a job well done. Well, wait a minute now. So they want us to pay them. They don't want to give them raises. They want to tip us for something that we didn't get. So they get to give them a raise, so to speak, on the side. Businesses are taking advantage of this opportunity, says William Michael Lynn, who studies consumer behavior and tip culture as a professional at Cornell University Nolan School in the Hotel Administration. Who wouldn't want to get extra money at very low cost if you could? So I don't know that I run into that yet, where you tip a machine and nobody's there to take it. I frankly would not do it. I just wouldn't do it. What would you do, Melody?
Well, I've been noticing a lot lately, too. It's not even about tipping now, but what you're also finding on when you go to check out is if you want to donate to something. You know, do you want to round up? Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, they're just nickel and dime on that, you know? It's like, no. You know, when I donate to a charity, I choose my charity. I choose what I want to donate to. And tipping, I mean, there, you know, these, I mean, you go through you know, a Dunkin' Donuts for a cup of coffee, and, you know, it. I saw a sign, $17, $18 for a job at Dunkin' Donuts. And then they want you to tip them just to, you know, have them hand you a cup of coffee.
No, I'm sorry, I can't go there.
They're guilting people into tipping and so forth. It's really kind of bizarre.
It's coercion.
And you're right. And it doesn't matter what type of job they do.
That's the whole key. Tipping's always been a way of appreciating somebody or unappreciating somebody's service. You know, so that's sad.
And it made them work harder.
It did. They tried to do better because their pay depended on it.
They wanted more. They wanted the better they did, the bigger the tip. So
it's sad.
Usually,
it's sad. I mean, it's just really a sad situation. But the companies, like I said, the companies are trying to get that done so people will pay more for the tips, so they don't have to increase the employees' wages. We pay for it. That's just.
But you know, I can remember. But you know what? It used to be, you know, when it all started changing was when government decided to change the way tips are taxed. I mean, just for wasn't taxed.
Yep.
So, but now, again, government comes in, and what do you do? You don't want to work as hard. You don't have to. Why should I work hard and get more tips when I have to pay more taxes? It pushes
Very
me.
True.
So again, government gets their, you know, little programs going and so forth, and government takes incentives away from people.
And the people always get hurt. Always.
Yeah.
Every time. You know, Robert Kennedy Jr. is running for president. We know that.
I don't know
much about the man. Some of the things I've heard, I really like about him. Some things I don't know enough about him to say yay or nay on president. I have no idea. But he did say something here recently that should get everybody's attention. It's been said for years, ever since 1963, when Kennedy, I believe, was assassinated, 63, but 63, 64, forget, 63, was assassinated. He said it was something we knew, a lot of people knew back then. It's been talked about now for the last 60-some years. Robert Kennedy Jr. blamed CIA for JFK assassination, fueling controversial claim. And that is very true, folks. That's what happened. Kennedy's about ready to turn the CIA upside down. He's about ready to close them down. CIA was about to be closed down by Kennedy, and they couldn't have that. Democratic White House contender Robert Kennedy Jr. blamed CIA for the November 22, 1963 assassination of his uncle, President John F. Kennedy, for claiming it's beyond a reasonable doubt. Kennedy made the bombshell accusation about a murder that sparked many conspiracy theories during the interview Sunday with John Castamitis on WABC 770 AM's Cats Roundtable. There's overwhelming evidence that the CIA was involved in the murder. I think it's beyond a reasonable doubt that at this point, Kennedy said of JFK's assassination and murdercade in Dallas, Texas. The evidence is overwhelming that the CIA was involved in the murder and in the cover-up. Robert Kennedy said Kennedy cited James Douglas' book, The JFK and the Unspeakable, as compiling the most evidence on the topic and labeled denials of CIA's role as a 60-year-old cover-up. The U.S. government official investigation, the Warren Commission report, concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in that fatal shooting and that there was no credible evidence that he was part of a conspiracy to assassinate the 35th president. The report was released on September 24th, 1964. Robert Kennedy Jr. cited James, I'm going to talk about what he talked about, the Central Intelligence Agency's own website references an article calling claims of the spy agency's role in JFK murder a lie. So he's stirring up some things that's been talked about for years. As a matter of fact, I think under Trump, they were going to release some of these things about JFK assassination, but it never happened. It never got released. I wonder why. The CIA still runs presidency, I'm sure. But I remember Kennedy saying, right before he got killed, Mel, I remember this. I was just a boy. I guess I was 15 years old or something like that. He said he was going to expose something. He said this is a nation that support secrets and something along the line. And he was going to expose something. And a few days later, he was gone. You have any comments on that?
Well, no, but I, you know... I mean, I'm like you. He said some good things, and of course, you know, he's still a liberal and so forth. But I mean, if you really listen to him, and you know, if he was elected president, he would probably release all of that information. It's going to be released sooner or later, and if it's much later, nobody's going to care about it anyway. But so it would be it's. He has even with his father, he has an agenda. So,
well, it is interesting. We'll see. This next year coming should be a very interesting year with all the ones running. Of course, the primary is always a challenge. People watch as to who's going to be the one chosen. And I say that, and not by the people choosing them. I think they're chosen by somebody a lot greater than the people as far as the power to do so. Obviously. When you get Tweedledee and Tweedledum to choose from, it's kind of hard to make the right decision, you know.
I know. I saw a partial interview with Biden, and, you know, they were talking about the vice president. They were saying, he was saying what a great job that she's doing, and I'm thinking, what is she doing? I mean, it's but I did see, I think if I saw it properly, that if Trump and Biden were winning, that Trump would beat Biden.
I've heard that.
That did change.
I've seen that.
So that's the new. We are.
We're about out of time. Do you want to wrap it up? You've got only about a minute left. Do you want to say anything you want to wrap it up with?
No, I just want to appreciate all the listeners, and I just want to have them give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I understand why people are confused. It's so much conflicting information from the Federal Reserve. There's not going to be a chance of a recession, or a very mild one, and then it's going to go hard landing, soft landing, and this and that. And it's just a lot of cover up, a lot of focus on defaulting and not defaulting. And it's just distractions. Keep people from really focusing on what they need. So. Don't get caught up in that, and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Would you like to add anything, Butch?
Well, nothing except, folks, do pay attention to what she's saying. I know finances are hard for everybody, but get what you can while you can. Make sure you got food put back, a good water filter, things you can live with for a while. Things are going to go kaplooey. I don't know when or how, but they're going to do it. And buy some precious metal, something that's always worth something that you can barter with. Barter may be the key someday soon to getting by. So I would call her. I really would. I truly would. I have. 800-375-4188. Melody, go ahead and wrap it on up.
We do have some 90% silver available. We stay with the quarters. And again, there's so much misinformation out there. We got some great prices on it. Everything really is available. The only thing that we have delayed is Maple Leaf, Bloomberg Silver, and that changed. They're only about a week out now, so. We'll be back tomorrow, folks, so until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan after work at all. I fool around and have a ball.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Theparamol.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs.